was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul. Now it's smoke and mirrors, switching bait, criticize and confiscate, and let the guilty walk away. In this once righteous, godly nation, in the halls of education, they forbid a child to pray. They say we need to spread the wealth. They pretend to guard the health of the feeble and the poor. While the hand they hold behind their back confuses and conceals the fact that the wolf is at the door. There's an unseen hand that pulls the string. It makes his little puppets dance to every song he sings as the night falls in. On a rising tide, look beyond the shadows, behold a pale horse ride.
Welcome, my friends. Welcome back to Resurrect the Republic. This is Eric the Freedom Screamer, once again sitting in for Tom and Lori. Thank you for joining us tonight on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm not sure where this show's going to go tonight, but I have some general ideas. We're going to see if we can get John Lamb on the phone for an update from the court, as well as Chris in Las Vegas, and we'll see if Lori's available. She brought some great insight to the show last night. She's always a great asset when we can get her on as well. So, once again, thank you for joining us. We have,
of course.
Chris, how are you, my friend? You are with us.
I'm with you.
Fantastic. Appreciate it. I want to remind people that this show stands on Psalms 94:16. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? I know all the listeners to this show will. I appreciate the activism, and I also appreciate the people who are supporting this show. If you have not yet donated and you choose to donate, I'm in a funding plea. I ask you to go to courtroomwatch.org. The name of the website is courtroomwatch.org. And there's a funding page that I have pretty much pinned to the top of the website. So you'll see it if you go there, and it's very simple to click and donate. I appreciate everybody who can do that. The donations are extremely helpful, and I encourage people to do that if they value this broadcast. Activism doesn't pay very well. And so I need your help to stay involved with this. And I do have some good news. The website, we spent a little time today, and we got the jury nullification flyer posted right at the top, front and center. So if you go to the website on the homepage where you see the big eye for courtroomwatch.org, you'll see the picture of the eyeball, and it should be right up there just underneath my funding page. So nice and easy to get. It's also posted on the documents page at courtroomwatch.org. So we finally got the jury nullification flyer dug out of the hole that it was in. It was buried in some documents that were attached to one of the phone blitzes. They were attached to the phone blitz for Pete Santilli, I believe. And so we pulled them out and got them posted in their own spot, kind of front and center, where people should be able to access that fairly easily now. Kristen, if you want to do that online, I hope I don't want to get embarrassed and it fails again, but give it a shot. And if you're near a computer, feel free to log on to courtroomwatch.org and see if that jury nullification flyer is there. It's the best one yet, I think, you know, not only because I wrote it, but because it actually has a little bit of, it tells the jurors what the judge is going to do, which is commit jury tampering by monkeying around and telling the jurors, listen, everybody, you can only interpret the law as I, the chief witch, give it to you. Of course, they don't call themselves a witch. That's my editorialization. But the judge says the judge will give the jury all kinds of unlawful instructions. to ignore jury nullification and claim that they can only judge the statute as it's presented to them. Well, then why even have the trial? If they're going to only go on that, then most of these times people are technically guilty of breaking the statute. But if the statute's wrong and it's immoral or it's being wrongly applied, then the jury can vote not guilty with a clean conscience and set the people free who are being wrongly accused under a wrong law. So, and then we saw that in Oregon, and people walked away from the courthouse free, and well, at least as free from the charges they were at there. Of course, the spiteful government scoops them up and tries them again in Nevada for state charges, and that's where we stand there. So I think we have Texas Lori. Let's bring her in now and get some updates from her, so we're getting right to the meat and potatoes of what's going on the West Coast with the trials. Lori, are you there?
I'm here. I know John's going to call in a little bit. Yeah, John's going to call in a little bit later with updates. He was in the courtroom most of the day. Like I said, I go in and out of court a lot. I've got other things I need to work on.
I appreciate that. I've been looking around for information on this is a little bit sparse, and I'm very surprised at some of the bigger names in the truth media, who are failing to even put a story up on their website. I cruise through one of the bigger websites, the big one. I hate to want to rag at InfoWars.
Don't go on a rant. Hold on, because there's a reason for that. Nobody's putting up with any nonsense or rants or raves or any knuckleheaded behavior. You've got Sherry from Redoubt News. It's Redoubt News. That's a website there.
Right.
They write. She's doing a great job up here. You've got John up here, you've got myself up here, and then you've got the Oregon Live, the mainstream press that's up here that they're giving a hard time.
That's fantastic.
There's a reason for that.
And I do. Yeah, I should. I'm glad you're giving those shout outs again. Repeat those websites. Redoubt?
Redoubt News. redoubtnews.com. Sherry's really
Redoubt
good.
News, okay,
writes,
I just want to say that slowly. That's redoubtnews.com. Okay, great. And then we have, of course, John Lamb, who's going to be with us tonight. But, Lori, just indulge me a little complaining here. I thought some of the bigger outfits would have a reporter there or at least mention it on their site, and they did not. So guess what, folks?
I'm going to explain that.
On Resurrect Hold the Republic.
On. Calm down. I'm going to explain that. We've had some of the alternative media that has gone down to Nevada and stirred things up. Some of these people are controversial and they don't know how to keep their honor and their wits about them. That's why I keep saying we've got to watch what we're saying. It's very scary up here, Eric. Very scary. With what I'm seeing on the ground and outside, it's not America anymore. It's not Oregon. It's not your state. It's not what you've think. It's very bad up here. There's a lot I'm not saying. It's not fun. And we all have to mind our P's and Q's, and I'm trying real hard, and rants will not help us. They are listening to this show. I can tell you that right now. So please hold off on major negative comments, because I don't want to be associated with them, with what's going on up here. It's not cool.
Who is stirring things
up?
I'm not sure. Okay, well, who is stirring things up?
When you go outside, Eric, we're being tailed everywhere we go. Let me give you an example. There was a reporter who took a picture in the courtroom of one of the defendants in the morning. By the noon, after the noon lunch break, the judge already knew about it and got on to everybody for it. I'm trying to watch my words carefully because I'm not trying to offend anyone. We have to live here and not be thrown in jail. It's very likely up here with things that are going on. People are not taking this lightly. We are standing. We are being respectful. But I've seen a couple of things on the street with people watching and who they are. And I don't like it very well. This is not how our country's supposed to be. So I really can't say it's strong enough. We have to have strict honor, strict respect, no knuckleheaded behavior, no knuckleheaded rants, because it is affecting every single person up here. And that's exactly why you don't see a lot of other alternative media up here, because they will be kicked out on their rear end in a heartbeat. No one is putting up with anything. They want the courtroom to stay open so we can see what's going on. And if we don't get in that courtroom and somebody acts knuckleheaded and gets us all kicked out, which has been threatened already, we have
That's kind of, all right, your point well taken, but I was making the point that some of the bigger outfits that have professional reporters that won't do knuckleheaded rants could get their rear end there and do cover the story, or at least post some updates on their website, which I have not seen on some of the bigger outfits, and I was just thought that was kind of sad that was lacking, because this is an epic trial. This is a big deal. This is Clive and Bundy and company and all the people in Oregon who made the stand. Granted, I know the particulars of the stand in Oregon weren't the greatest, but they stood on principle, and we should back them up as fellow patriots. They didn't hurt anybody. Where's the victim? No crime. So anyway, I just had to complain about that a little bit, the lack of the bigger outfits getting somebody there to at least cover, because, Lori, the more reporters that are there, good ones, professional ones, not knuckleheaded ranters, but the more good reporters are there, the safer everybody is. So I hope people aren't staying away. You know, I'd like to see 5, 6, 7, 8 reporters there. I love it that John Lamb and Readout News is doing their thing, but there should be 5 times that many reporters, and I'm just kind of, you know, I think that's woefully lacking. And some of the bigger outfits that could afford to send a reporter there. So just wanted to say that. So
I know Fox. Yeah, I know. There's been a Fox News local guy there. There's been a local TV station out there. I'm not sure what it is. But they haven't really, to my knowledge, gone inside the court. I know they've been outside. They probably have someone in the court, but I'm not familiar with the people up here. It's just getting
They usually wear their credentials around their neck, and they'll have a notepad and usually a camera. The guys who there's for this reporters for the local news stations, they usually kind of stand out, but they're not letting cameras in the room. But it'd be interesting to see. But are they up there every day?
Most of the time they're up there in the morning.
Okay.
They're there. But what I'm seeing out there, and I look at things a little differently than most people. It makes me nervous what I did see today. That's all I'm going to comment on that. But I just don't like what I'm seeing up here and how people are being watched. This is not not respectful. It's not by
I know. It stinks. We had it happen here in New York. There was a protest for a doggy shooting. The cops shot somebody's dog, walked on the property uninvited, unannounced, for no reason. And, you know, anyway, the protest, they had guys there in cars taking pictures of the protesters there, and so everybody went over and took a picture of him and his license plate. And you kind of just gotta, you know,
gotta roll with it.
You gotta roll with it. And look, the best weapon you have, and the one that they're afraid of the most, is the camera, more than a gun. By a long shot. That's why they're so afraid to honor the right to record in the courtroom in this matter. They're just deathly afraid of cameras. But outside the courthouse and in the lobby, it's usually fair game. So make sure you get plenty of footage. If you see something, an injustice or an atrocity going on, being committed by one of the uniformed or plain clothes, get it on video, and we'll throw it up on YouTube. We got a YouTube channel. I think we got one. I'll find out exactly how to get there and post it up.
I've got one I can
do. You know, so use that camera frequently, so to speak.
Right. It's just very uncomfortable right now. Everybody's on guard. Everybody's watching what's going on. Everybody's very careful what they're saying. And they need to be with what I'm seeing. It's just how it is. We let people know we don't need more, and we just want our country back.
I would say to that, don't let the enemy look. Obviously, there's decorum and professionalism. We're not going to be swearing, using profanity, and throwing F bombs and getting in people's face or threatening people with physical violence. That's over the line. But don't let them win by censoring yourself. You know, I know what you're saying. I just hate to see the enemy win by having all of us kind of be quiet, so to speak. We're all pretty good here. Well, I'm not, I very rarely, I'm swearing or threatening anybody.
Right. Eric, I'm not being quiet. It's more of a respect factor. And like I keep saying, we've got to allow room for change. And we can't do that if we're all yelling and fussing at each other. We've got to slow down and think about what we're doing. And that's what I'm talking about.
I hate to hear you say, you know, people have got to watch what we say. But you are right to a certain extent, the obvious things. But still, don't let your free speech be censored, and then just speak freely. And you do a great job doing that. So we don't want to see that buffered or hindered in any way by the Gestapo over there in Portland.
No, I'm not going to do that at all. It's just watch your words carefully that they're not offensive or can get you in trouble later. One of the things I did see in the last 2 days, because the defense are putting their case on now, is you see a completely different change in the judge. Now she's very much helping the government stop witnesses. Only evidence that they've entered in as the government for their proving that they're not innocent will be used. And they've knocked out about half of the witnesses for the defense. When the witnesses get up on the stand, they're limited to what they can say. One of the gentlemen, hopefully John will report on this tonight, literally got on the stand and said, "But I swore to tell the truth." And she cut him off and made the jury leave and said, "Hey, knock it off. You know, this is what you're not supposed to say." One of the things that this gentleman also told me outside the courtroom is there has been a case of adverse possession, taking land away from the government, and it was in this district court, I believe, that made the decision that, yes, they did get the land back. So that's one of the things they did not want to be heard in court today, was one of their own decisions. And the judge was very familiar with the gentleman that was speaking. But I know that Jake Ryan, he's one of the defendants. His mom got on the stand. They did let her speak. She did a wonderful job. Absolutely, you know, had me in tears at one point. Great lady, talking about how he was raised, how he was educated, how he was pro the country. He wasn't anti-government. One of the defendants also made mention when the judge said they were anti-government, literally told her, "Don't call me anti-government," because they are fighting for a form of government. So it's getting a little, little tense in the courtroom now. They hope on Monday, possibly Pete Santilli will be in. They are not going to have Jake Ryan testify. Some of the defendants, they will show the jury their testimony from the first trial, and they're not going to allow them to speak again. I guess they did too much damage the first time. And they probably will edit what the jury sees of their testimony as well. So those are the things going on behind the scenes that the jury's not seeing. And quite a few discussions without the jury in right now behind the scenes. You can have this show. You cannot say this. It's the 403 rule that they're going with, and I've got to read the 403 rule when I get a chance. So this is kind of what's going on in the court now. It's a completely different change in attitude and what's going on. And
with the judge favoring the prosecution now, is that what you're saying?
I can't say that, because what she is saying is unless the prosecution has introduced the evidence or it has been introduced by a question that the witness is speaking about, it cannot be entered now, because it is the prosecution proving that they are not innocent, and that is the only evidence they can use. They cannot introduce a lot of additional evidence.
I'm just trying to nail down. You said there's a visible change, and what was the change from and to? Was it from being even-handed to favoring the prosecution a little more? Is that what you were? That's what I took from what you said. Is that correct?
It's even-handed to balancing out and following this 403 rule, and following what's already been introduced, as well as just really sticking them with some guidelines of what they can and cannot do. And
both sides equally, or one side over the other?
Occasionally she's doing both sides equally. She is getting onto the prosecution as well.
Very good.
But it just seems that some of the evidence that they really need to have in the forefront of the jury for them to make an informed decision is not being presented, and that's my opinion. Of course, you know, in the legal world, it doesn't always work in common sense. So
very rarely does it work in common sense or common law, and it should, though.
Exactly. But what they plan to do is, sorry about the dog barking next door, what they plan to do is have witnesses tomorrow, take Friday off, come back Monday. They hope the defense can rest their case on Monday, and then let the jury deliberate and possibly have an answer next week on these four defendants. And then again, after that, we have Thomas's trial on April 3rd, and Mumford's, I believe, is April 17th, something like that, the attorney that was tased and arrested. And in his case, he will not get a jury trial. And the four will be facing misdemeanor charges, where they are not allowed to have a jury trial as well. So the courts are now, or the judges, there's two different judges, are now deciding that these people are not allowed a jury trial. So we'll have to see how those go. We're still fighting that. People are outside. There's probably another good 50 people there today. People are outside standing and educating people, handing out constitutions. They've got their signs and flags waving. They're doing everything they can to let the prisoners in jail know that they're there. And do strong signs of support there.
Excellent. Good. That's great news. So there's plenty of observers there. Well, it sounds like it's going about the way we would think it would.
Right.
When the judge sees it's going a little too good for the defense, you know, unfortunately, and it's just the way it is, they usually stiffen up and try to make it more difficult, and if they see things are going... I mean, it's just obvious that the judge is not a neutral arbiter in these matters. I wish he or she would be. I really want them to be, you know, honest and do just and righteous deeds. But unfortunately, they're just beholden to the system. And everything's about, I mean, how can you deny somebody a jury trial? You know, I mean, it's just a fundamental, it's so fundamental, it's ridiculous how obvious it is. You can't, you know, it's frustrating because I know, so they do the same thing here in New York, and it's a nationwide thing that usually starts in New York, and that's why I do a lot of observing in New York, is because you can see these things metastasize throughout the country. They've been running bench trials here for a while, and unless the law, the statute that they made up says if it's less than 6 months of jail time attached to the crime, if the penalty is less 6 months or less, you only get a bench trial, no jury trial. If the penalty could give you more than 6 months in jail, then it's a jury trial. So you're almost better off getting charged with something a little more serious. At least you'll get a jury trial. You got no chance in a bench trial. Tell me how we could. How do you have a chance with the judge up there loving to uphold the system and frowning on anybody who's a constitutionalist or a freedom lover or, you know, any one of us, so to speak?
Well, I can tell you the atmosphere around there with the feds and the U.S. Marshals and all the government workers is very strange. To me, people are people. And, you know, you're responsible for the job and what you do. But they're watching us. They're following us. They're everywhere. They're doing what they can to show that they're... I don't know the right word. I would say it's
harassment.
A fear of people.
Harassment is the word. Go ahead, say it, Lori. You're being too nice. They're harassing you, and they're doing unlawful spying on the American public, and spying is treason, which is a capital offense. They got to stop doing it, period. I mean, let's not be too light about
you
this.
You said it, not
this
me.
This is a serious stuff. Huh?
It is very serious, and it's very, you know, it's very serious when you can't walk into a building without being molested and having to take off your clothes to go through and being, you know, searched, and then go upstairs and go through the same thing. It's very offensive. I know when I was younger, I could go in wherever I wanted, and you know, if you're afraid of people doing something to you when you have that many men with guns, or women with guns around you, then you're doing something wrong. And it shows a fear of the government that they're afraid of the people. So much so that they've turned on the people. And it's just very sad what I'm seeing of how people are treating each other. How we've come to, I have to watch you because you have some strange ideas. Well, I got news for these people. I read the laws. I read the statutes. I've been studying it. I haven't interpreted it. It's word for word what we're saying that it is. It's not my belief because I don't want to believe this crazy stuff. And if they had put me on a stand, I'm going to tell them flat out, I didn't make up this crazy nonsense. You guys are the ones promoting it. And it's crazy. If you can't go out and feed yourself, feed your family, keep your land, work hard, and take care of what you've got and earn what you can, and not have somebody spying on you or trying to take your clothes off, for goodness sakes, we've gone to insanity.
Yeah, and they're psychopathically self-centered. They want all the freedom that they enjoy in this country. I don't think they want to give up any freedom. Boy, they love as much as they can get their hands on. But boy, if it comes to anybody else's, you know, we get called crazy. We get called, we have strange ideas. What do you, there's a woman in San Jose, California, who I may have on this sometime this week to talk about her case. And she's the public defender told her that she needs to stop talking about the Constitution because if she's a constitutionalist, the judge is going to order a psychiatric evaluation. And she said, didn't the judge take an oath to uphold the Constitution when he was sworn into office? And the idiot attorney got up and walked away. So it just goes to show you, I mean, they're psychopathically self-centered. That's the only way I can describe it. They want everything for themselves, screw everybody else. I mean, they got their little clique, their little gang, their little club that they hang together with, and their families all go to the picnics together, but very rarely do they venture out in the real world. If they did, they'd have a nervous breakdown. Instead, they legalize the unlawful, which is stealing our money, and paying it to themselves under the disguise of security and safety.
Well, there's another way to look at it. They've been so brainwashed that somebody's going
right,
to hurt
that too.
Do something
absolutely.
Bad.
That's part of it.
That
yep.
They have to fear the very people that work to support the livelihood that they have. These are the workers that build your cars. These are the workers that are farming to feed your family. These are the workers that clean your car when you go to the car wash. These are the workers that clean your streets, that build your streets, that build your home. These are the people that they're going out against are the very ones that take care of the lifestyle they have so that their hands don't get calloused. And
we got a break coming up. Hold that thought, Lori. We're going to have a break here. Stay with us, folks. This is Eric, the Freedom Screamer. We got Lori. We got Chris. Hang in there. We'll get some Chris on the other side of this break. If you're interested in calling, it's 800-313-9443. I'll read that slower when we get back. This is Eric, the Freedom Screamer on the RBN Network. Stay with us.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today. homeowners. Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Hey there. Quick question for you. Would you be okay with more energy, more endurance, thicker, healthier hair, a better mood, reduced appearance of wrinkles, improved sleep, improved blood pressure and cholesterol profiles, improved vision, improved memory? Okay then. Well now, have you heard of Nature's Youth RSF? It's from the anti-aging experts at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. See, at Nature's Youth, they understand exactly what it means to provide top quality health products. And Nature's Youth customers not only improve their health, they know they're also providing their body with the right nourishment to maintain that peak performance and fight the aging process. If health, wellness, and nutrition are what you desire, choose Nature's Youth RSF. I did. You see, you're going to get older. It's just up to you how you feel when you get there. Get started today. Nature's Youth RSF. Simple to use, simple to order. Go to naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com.
Welcome back, my friends. Welcome back. Thanks for staying with us here on Resurrect the Republic on the RBN Network. I'm Eric the Freedom Screamer. We got Texas Lori, Chris in Las Vegas. We got Andy in Texas. Let me just read this little phrase here. This is a quote from Bruce Barton, 1886 to 1967. The Bible rose to the place it now occupies because it deserved to rise to that place, and not because God sent anybody with a box of tricks to prove its divine authority. Anyway, Lori, would you like to pick up back where you left off, and then we'll bring in Chris as well. You guys take it away.
Basically, I just think we need to get back to common sense, and it's insane that people are treating people so badly. We don't have a monarchy here. We have a republic, and people need to learn what that word means and how to respect each other. And they don't like being offended when you're so highly offended. You know, we have law, and this is why a lot of the marshals don't understand why I get upset. We have a law. I'm not sure if it's still in the books or not, but women couldn't take their shoes off when they drove. This is how conservative Texas used to be. You know why they couldn't take their shoes off when they drove? Do you have any idea?
Chris? Come on in, Chris.
Why you can't take your shoes off when you vote?
When you drive, women.
Oh, when you drive?
They had that law. Yes.
There is no sensible explanation that has any basis for that whatsoever. People can drive with their feet off or their shoes off, and some people don't have feet and they still drive.
Well, they had that law in Texas because they had a high moral standard for their women. And if they took their shoes off, what else would they take off? So women had to keep their shoes on when they drove. And that was just one of the things, you know, no shoes, no shirt, no service. It's kind of along the same thing, only their values were a little bit stronger back in those days. And, you know, it is offensive for me to be asked to take my shoes off, knowing in law or in their statutes what was thought about in Texas. It's very offensive. And when you know why it's on the books, it's something that I just don't take my shoes off. Even when I go into a house that takes their shoes off, I just keep my shoes on. So, sorry, it's one of those weird foibles that I have. But that's how it is. There was also a EPA or a ruling today. It may have been an executive order. I've asked somebody to find the executive order for me. But there was a water rights executive order that came down that lessened the EPA rules that may possibly get Joe Robertson out of jail. This is one of the things I'm probably going to have to look at on Friday. I'm not going to have time until then, but people might want to look at it. There is a new executive order today. I think it was the Farmers Land Organization or something out of Oregon or Montana that put it out and said that this might possibly get Joe Robertson released because of the way his pond was set up. It completely takes the EPA rules away from all the charges that he had. So that is coming up. The EPA is being told to back off now on the water rights and some of the things going on. But then on the flip side, Navarro, the judge in the Nevada trial, is being stricter on water rights. If you can't get to the water because you don't have use of the land, then you don't have water rights. So, you know, on one hand, you've got the EPA they're knocking, but then you've got the courts still going. The courts haven't gotten the message yet. So hopefully they'll get the message soon.
Good.
So that was good. The other interesting thing that was going on around up here. Farmers were pretty excited about that one coming through. We've got so many political prisoners right now that we're hearing about that it's insane. There's an Amish farmer that's been arrested and not allowed out of jail for making a salve that was all natural and selling it. You've got Joe Robertson. You've got all our guys from Oregon and Nevada. You've got Thomas Deegan. You've got Randy Dew. You've got Skylar Barbeau. You've got so many in jail right now that it's just breaking the bank, literally, with everyone. But with that, yeah. Let's get some more positive news, and I'm going to turn this over to you and Chris.
Yeah, it's unfortunately, we can't just get off that topic. I mean, what's going on here now? We have a new attorney general. I want to see these cases get dropped. Why is the FDA allowed to go arrest an Amish man for selling hand cream that has something natural in it and use the word healing? He put the word healing on the label. Oh, my God. A four-letter word, heal. Oh, no, a swear word. They ban that word. Make it one of George Carlin's seven words you can't say on TV. Oh, my God, the word heal. Oh, he used the word healing on his hand cream, and that's why the FDA, the Federal Dingleberry Administration, has now, don't forget, they don't really have much of any arresting. They had to get the local sheriff to do the unconstitutional thing and come on board with the feds and arrest this poor Amish guy. And don't forget the next step into the witch's court. It ain't going to be the FDA team of attorneys bringing cases. No, these are going to be federal Justice Department attorneys and directly under Jeff Sessions who are going to be bringing forth these cases against the Amish farmer for selling the hand cream that said heal on the label. Oh, four-letter word. I'm getting sick just saying it. Uh-oh. God forbid we use the word heal. And the stuff really did heal better than the poisonous crap you get from Big Pharma.
Yes, but it was signed into the law. Eric, it was signed into the law. It was signed into law several years ago, and it was one of McCain's bills. It was Codex Alimentarius, and I know that's a weird name, but you can look up Codex Alimentarius. It starts with an A.
And, Codex Alimentarius is a plan to take over the food supply. It's been going on since the early 1900s. It was really put into serious planning by the Nazis after World War II. That's where most of the chemical companies and the spinoffs came out of that. And if you read most of the ingredients on just a typical loaf of bread or some crackers, if it's just, you know, basic stuff, I mean, the chemicals in there, sodium acid pyrophosphate, propylene glycol. Wait till I read you the definition of what propylene glycol is. That's one of my big hang-ups. Here's your health tip for the night, folks. Ready? Eric, the Freedom Screamer's health tip. Stay away from the propylene glycol. It's spelled P-R-O-P-Y-L-E-N-E, propylene glycol, G-L-Y-C-O-L. And look it up in the dictionary. It's a viscous liquid used in hydraulic fluid. It's also in everything from Dr. Pepper soda to most of your Breyers ice cream, I think, even has it. It's just everywhere. It's in muffins and everything. It's a cheap come. So if you look at your typical food, there's, in many instances, more, if you add up all the chemicals, there's more chemicals made by the chemical companies than there are real food ingredients in many of the processed food that's out there. So anyway, Chris, any comments on that? Codex Alimentarius is a food plan. Yeah, and what they do, signed that into law a few years back, and it's basically the UN Agenda 21 of the food supply. It's command and control. It's take out Catherine Bertini from the World Food Program is very quite famous for saying the following quote. This is the director of the World Food Program. She said, "We use food as a weapon. We make no apologies for it." I believe that's her exact quote. Someone can double check that if they want. But yeah, that's the director of food as a weapon, and you combine that with Monsanto and all these companies like Bayer that came out of the Germans after World War II. And you have chemical companies getting into food and big pharma, and with the Codex Alimentarius is more of the plan. It's more of the agenda for the takeover of the food supply. It's very dangerous, and that's why people need to have some kind of food independence as best they can. A food storage, and rice and beans is always cheap just to store up for hard times, and some kind of self-sustaining thing. I believe it was Linda Runyon who lived off the land up in the Adirondacks in New York for several years, in the winter included, just off what they found in the wild. She's the woman from, what the heck was it called? either Wild Food Adventures or it was Eat Wild, how you survive off just what you can find, and even growing in the winter months in the severe cold climate. So anyway, but yeah, that's Codex Alimentarius is now codified. What year was that, 1997, Lori?
I believe it was 97, 98. It may have been a little bit later than that.
Just so people are clear, this is almost an ancient plan. I mean, this goes back over 100 years. This is old. I mean, I'm sure long before that, but it was seriously put into place between 1920 and 1940 and 50, and the powers that be know that it's a lot easier to take over the world by stealth and by covert means than overt through the barrel of a gun. You know, that gets expensive, that gets people get tired of the blood, and the resistance they get to that is overwhelming. But if they can do it through the food supply, and that's why it's so insidious with the Monsanto GMO food. Those of you, anybody driving around, look for those signs sitting out in front of the corn or the soybean field. They'll have a number on it. It'll say Seeds from Science or Agro or, some name of some one of the chemical companies. And you'll see it out there, and that's your GMO food. Those crops are patented, and you have to buy your seeds every year. I thought it was very sad that Tractor Supply is allowing these scientists from Cornell universities and the cooperative extension that pushes the GMO food to go to Tractor Supply stores and try to convince farmers that the GMO provide specialty seeds that have the insecticide right in the DNA. I mean, you can't wash it off. There's no way to ingest that stuff, and it's no good. Just go online and type into your search engine GMO tumors and go down the rabbit hole yourself, folks. Chris, any comments on that?
Well, as a matter of fact, you mentioned propylene glycol. Well, ethylene glycol, of course, is antifreeze, as we all know, and that's frequently been used in murder plots by people that want to cover up the nefarious activities and be as surreptitious and difficult to uncover their plots to get rid of their mates, friends, or other people that they want to get rid of, dogs, animals, all those people. If you lick that sweet-tasting ethylene glycol antifreeze, it's going to kill you, much like the propylene glycol.
Yeah, propylene glycol is almost identical, Chris. It's actually the edible form. If you look on a can of the natural, so to speak, environmentally friendly antifreeze, it'll say propylene glycol formula. And it actually says propylene glycol. Then you run into the store next door and pick up your typical loaf of bread or thing of ice cream, and you'll look on the back and you'll see propylene glycol. I'm going to, Chris, make some comments here while I look up the dictionary definition of propylene glycol.
Not only that, while you're there, remember that we have to worry about Dr. Wynn Parker's uncovery of the 6,000 trihalomethanes. The chloramine causes health damage. The Camp Lejeune case down there for the veterans and the family members who lost children, became infertile, had their reproductive systems damaged, and all sorts of things. They did have to pay some reparations thanks to Dr. Wynn's efforts. He did an amicus brief down there that was pretty successful. And, of course, then you got Dr. John Holgren and Zeke Emanuel, Diet 75, one of the authors of the Healthcare Scams Independent Payment Advisory Board, a.k.a. the Death Panel, which has to be repealed. In fact, it should have been repealed February 2nd of this year, or may be difficult to get rid of. Although I think if it could be created with a pen stroke, it should be able to maybe disappear with a pen stroke. But more importantly to Laurie's observations about the courtroom up in the north, very similar to the ones here in the south, that's one of the reasons that I think the Western District, the 9th District Circuit of the United States Courts, are one of the most overturned, about 80 percentile rate. And you obviously have some judge there that's being an activist, at least, if not, in fact, a terrorist. And they're being hostile, adversarial, avaricious, accusatory, obstructing justice, denying due process, tampering with the jury, tampering with witnesses, restricting testimony, and aiding and abetting the one side or the other, showing extreme bias. So really, that judge should be recused herself. And
think about that.
One that's not so biased.
Think about that list, people that Chris just read to you. How far have we gone? I mean, we're not talking about one or two or three things here. I mean, it goes on and on and on, and that was an excellent list, Chris, and that was probably just a thumbnail sketch of all the unlawful and abusive garbage that's coming out of the witch's court. But great synopsis. And imagine that. I mean, this is the ramification of allowing the courts to be turned over to oh, man, what word do I want to use? So many come to mind. The Masonic lodges absolutely dictate what go on in the courts, and so do the vicar general and the judicial vicar. If you really want to look behind the curtain, that's where it is. The bar is kind of the executioner squad. They're the ones that put everything in action, and the witch's court enforces it and send out the police if the conscripts don't obey. And the conscripts are us. They're looking at every single one of us as a conscript, somewhere between a conscript in the military and a monetary instrument, a piece of walking paper money.
Hey, well, I haven't... Eric, Chris, can I read something I just found?
Sure.
Okay, let me pull it up here again. Sorry, I'm operating on...
Well, while you're pulling, I haven't noticed many females in the Order of St. Hubertus, the hunter, and they do have the Eastern Star, of course, the Beast of the East. Where they have the Feast of Purim, where they have the bloodlust feast and sexuality, so on and so forth. It's quite a noteworthy group of people that practice those sort of diabolical, demonic activities. Have you found it yet?
Yes. This is from CSPOA. C-S-P-O-A. This is the Sheriff's Association run by Sheriff Mack. They just put out a notice.
Speak up, Lori.
They've just put out a new notice. The CSPOA has a new project aimed at gaining the freedom of several people who are currently incarcerated on federal charges which amount to bureaucratic overreach. The project, under the name of the Freedom Coalition, is an open letter to President Trump, the DOJ, and other officials demanding the release of many people who have been victims of federal tyranny. Cut and paste the link below to your browser and see what they're doing. That's thefreedomcoalition.com. So if you want to go to thefreedomcoalition.com and see what Sheriff Mack and his group are up to, it looks like they're starting to see in here what's going on and possibly getting some help from the local sheriffs.
Well, okay. Sheriff's operation is the Constitution Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, which is what the CSPOA. And his group recently went to Washington, D.C. to lobby as many different people as they could, and I think they got a meeting with Donald Trump while they were there. I think they had a pretty large group, but I want to say 200 and some odd sheriffs went, but I'm not positive of that number. But I do know that Sheriff Matt went with a contingent of sheriffs. I'm not sure the number, but they were doing some lobbying for some of these very concepts that you're speaking of, that Freedom Coalition, and that's a wonderful, wonderful project, because there are absolutely the retaliatory class-based animus of the pro se executions of innocent people. The framing the blame on the victim is a common trick and trap of the left. In fact, it goes back to the beginning of time to Sumer and Babel, Nimrod, and some of those other locations, where they pervert the law and use it as a weaponized version, much like they're weaponizing food and water, air, and injections, and about everything else that we get. So I applaud what Richard Mack does. I was actually one of his initial sheriffs and peace officers organization events, also original foundational event of the Oath Keepers, which Sheriff Mack was there also, along with some other stoic law enforcement professionals from around America. So there you have it from my end on that part.
Yeah, I heard
one more thing, Eric. Hopefully people will call their sheriffs, let them know about it if they're constitutional, and get more sheriffs on board with this Freedom Coalition. That's the only way we're going to get this done, is to have the law enforcement. This is what I was talking about with being respectful to law enforcement. Sheriff Mack has worked very hard. Oath Keepers, I'm not too fond of. But Sheriff Mack has been diligently working with all law enforcement to educate them on the Constitution. And he's teaching them the law and about his case that he won, Prince versus the U.S. And he is going lawfully, respectfully, and at a certain level that works for him and for law enforcement to educate them on what they can and cannot do. This is why we're respectful, because now the sheriffs are standing up saying, hey, wait a minute, something's going on, and this is exactly what the people have been asking for. So if we've got them finally stepping up saying, hey, the people have had enough, maybe this is a peaceful resolution to get the feds to back off. So here again, this is why I remain respectful for all those, and I know there's a lot of people that get really bent out of shape when I say, hey, have some honor and respect. Education.
Be professional and be polite. Don't threaten anybody or swear. And you can make your point pretty forcefully and still be kind of nice about it.
Well, if you don't mind me vindicating myself, although I am not promoting or supporting Oath Keepers today, when it first formed in its organic conception, it had good ideals that it put forth, and that was part of the reason it attracted a lot of people to it. And some have had a reversal of fondness or affection for that group and no longer affiliated like myself, but, you know, they become a little bit militant and seem to be part of an agenda in many different locations, although there's some places they do some good things. So, you know, it's like any other organization. Some of them they do good things and some they don't do such good things. So that's all I can say about that one. But this is really a very dangerous time we're living in right now. We're in the realm of what's called the escalating violence period right now. And it's a very dangerous time, but I still don't think it's wise to speak of incendiary terms and to verbalize on the radio waves that somebody wants to start a revolution and fire the first shot. They still don't know who fired the first shot in Haymarket Rebellion with Crispus Attucks getting shot and killed there. So, and it really doesn't make any difference who fires the first shot, except that it's better if it's not a patriot or a lover of America that starts the fire, the first shot to start the flames of the revolution. Because I think if you'll wait long enough, that the evil forces of this principalities of evil will absolutely get desperate, and they will do whatever they've got to do to provoke it to light the flames anyway, and then Katie bar the door, because we'll all have to defend ourselves or die at the hands of them. So that's about all I can tell you on that. Yep.
And I think that's going to happen up here in this part of the neck of the woods, because the ruling, yeah. And I read a little bit more about the farmer and Hague, H-A-G-E, he was basically told he had to pay almost $500,000 for his cattle being on federal land for a year or two, and his water rights are on federal land, and he can no longer ever have cattle on federal land. Therefore, his water rights are an illusion. That came down, I believe, Monday or today. So you have judges who, if you have water rights, you definitely have the right to have them on that land. It just goes hand in hand that should be grandfathered in. And they're trying to shut these farmers down. Once again, this is in Nevada, and they're having the, quote, Bundy trials. It's not all Bundys. There's other people involved, too. But they're having the Bundy trials, and they're still pushing the farmers off of the land via the BLM. So it's...
Well, the BLM, we have the BLM, the DHS, and the FBI, and the Marshals, and everyone, and the Forest Service, and the FDA, and the EPA, every single one of them is doing the exact same damn thing they've been doing during the last administration, and nothing's changed. And that stuff should be shut down by executive edict. Just send out the memo. Bill, this crap's going to stop. No more arresting Amish for using the word heel on their hand cream. No more arresting Tom for being in the same room with a gun. Proximity is not possession. I mean, we can go on and on down the list. Why are these people still being prosecuted with the new attorney general? These people don't have much time. I know it's not appropriate that we just, what is Jeff Sessions sitting around sending more federal police out to the streets to create a larger dragnet, a larger nightmare, and prosecuting the drug war even harder and heavier than we have been in the past, and which we all know that prohibition does not work, except for the police state. It does not work for the people.
If I can say for Lori, I did check whitehouse.gov, and that's the place that you can locate the executive orders. You can type it up in the search bar, and it'll bring them up for you. There are several different ones that she could have been referring to.
Let's get that on the other side of the break.
Okay.
Yep, we're going to be right back. We got a short break coming up. Hang in there with us, people. This is Eric, Lori, Chris, and was it Fred in Texas? This, I think, was on the line. If you're still there, we'll bring you in during the next hour. So we'll be right back on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay with us.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.